up to us. You're getting comfortable by someone else. It's getting cold outside, it's getting dark. Laid up here all by myself. Don't know how far you're taking. You might go all the way. Part of me don't think I can take it. Part of me wanted to walk away. Am I wrong? Is that a mistake? I know it cost you all that pain. We came so far, it's really a shame. I lost your heart, my mind's filled with hate. I left my scars, put it on pain. Feel like I lost, feel like I failed. Turn on my phone, get a display. Caught up on wrong, talked it out with Aunt. Wish I could see flow, that was my miss. We sip Patron, I forget your name. Just for the night, kiss on my brain. From the ghost, a reminder that it's not the same.
Once again, welcome to the Question Would Be Ever podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on all your favorite platforms. 5 stars.
5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
We got a special guest with us today. You just saw his performance right before the interview. He has a wonderful voice. He produces everything. He writes everything. And now he's in New York. He's got a big performance coming up this Thursday. Which this episode is going to come out after, but, you know, sucks that you missed it. Don't miss the next one. Jack, say what up to everybody.
Yo, what up? I'm Jack. I'm a producer, songwriter, singer, rapper. I'm from Portland, Maine, but I live in New York, kind of in the 914 area. Mm. Shout out to 914.
So, Jack, we're going to start off with your move from Maine to New York. All right. You moved here. Specifically for college.
Yes.
So tell me about the move here and how did music affect your move to New York?
I wanted to come to New York because of music. Honestly, like, music has been the main driver in everything that I've done, just because it's really the only shit I understand in the moment. So, I liked a lot of music that I heard out of New York that engaged me a lot. I mean, like, he wasn't from there, but he found a sound there. J. Cole was a big inspiration to go to New York. At the same time, Joey Badass. But also at the same time, Robert Glasper, who, I guess Joey Badass is the only one who's from New York. But Robert Glasper is not from New York, but those types of sounds all together, I just heard a lot of stuff out there from here.
So when you first started out, what kind of genres were you playing? Because now you're doing a more R&B, hip-hop type of thing, a lot of... You have kind of a soul voice that you mix in with your R&B. So how did you start out initially? What kind of genres were you first dabbling with, I guess, as a little kid.
Before coming to New York. So I was playing music really young. I was mostly on instruments and stuff. I started guitar when I was like 6 or 7. And I was in a bunch of like rock bands, you know, started out like in blues a lot, you know, classic rock. Still kind of like circling the R&B area, you know. But then, you know, as I went to high school, it was more like punk and ska and stuff like that. And then I moved to hip hop in like 2014.
And that's when you first linked up with your boy over there that who also performed, which you're going to see his performance at the end of this episode. So tell me about that. You guys launched an album together. First of all, shout out your man over there.
It's my boy Dre Got the Blues. That's my bro.
Dre Got the Blues. You could also, you've also heard him in Cool Kid Dre's last album, Cool Kid Dre. We just did an interview with him a couple of episodes ago. Dre Got the Blues was featured on, what track was that? What's the Move? So check that song out. Shout out to Cool Kid Dre, longtime friend of the show. When you guys linked up in 2016, what made you guys connect initially?
Music.
Stop moving the chair, you're squeaking everywhere.
Oh yeah, my chair, shit. Squeaky chair, my bad.
It's the chair's fault.
No, my bad. Music is why we linked up.
Tell me about that first time when you guys first linked up, and because, you know, it's one thing to kind of just meet artists along the way and like be friends and like whatever, but
we're
it's
internet
thing to make,
friends.
It's another thing to like make a whole album together.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we're internet friends. We came from the internet.
MySpace top five friends, like
Facebook. So I came back to Manhattanville very quietly. Manhattanville College, which is where we met at school. I had initially left there. Mm-hmm. In 2015, my first year, and then I came back pretty quietly in 2016. I remember Dre seeing him at a performance or something. I think we played football once. He doesn't remember it, but I do. So we linked up. I don't know. I think I hit him up on Facebook, and I was just like, "Yeah, bro, I'm here." I didn't even really tell most of the people I actually already knew, and I was like, "I don't know. I think we had meant to make music at some point or something." And then it was like one of the first days I was back there, and we got right into it. And you know,
then you made the album Blue Jack.
Yeah, we banged that project out in like a couple of months, month or two, real quick.
So from Facebook, and now you guys still doing music together. You got a performance coming up Thursday.
We do.
Tell me a little bit about that performance, because you said you were performing for the NBA.
Yes.
So
in some regard, the NBA, we playing Thursday. What's the date right now?
Now is the 27th. So you
27th. So on the 29th of July, which will have been the past once this comes out.
Will have been the past.
I don't know how to say that. So we're playing a show basically that United Masters and the NBA are putting on. It's called Sunset Series. Mm-hmm. It's at Dumbo House in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a dope venue.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's... I think it's basically a showcase for like independent artists to kind of like surrounding draft night to kind of like create a parallel there. Like,
oh, got it. With artists.
Upcoming.
Upcoming exactly. Artists, upcoming NBA players. Yeah,
boom.
Makes sense.
Boom. One correlation. One.
How did you get that link up?
You know, we have been playing a bunch of jam sessions out in Brooklyn and around the city that eventually got picked up by Ludlow House.
Okay.
And then we were actually on the NBA's Instagram Live last year. So, you know, it's just a series of jams. It's really what brought it together.
Which is
really the most beautiful part about it. You know, the whole thing really did start that we've been doing, like, just us up on a rooftop, fucking around and making music.
And so you guys are in a group now called Sauce Collective.
Yes, sir.
And there's a couple other people involved as well.
Yes.
So tell me how that came about.
Well, that started as Blue Jack, the band.
Okay.
And then, you know, we all went our separate ways at different times, different years. And we all went to college together, but we were different years. And then this is basically what kind of remains of that. and we're all kind of in the same area. So, you know, we just, it's really mainly as art, as far as artists, it's mainly me and Dre.
Okay.
And then it's also a collective of musicians that we play.
Got it. So you guys play together. And how long has that been? I guess it started with Blue Jack with you guys in 2016.
Yeah.
When did it evolve to like the Sauce Collective?
Sauce Collective was like 2018, 2019, something like that.
And what's the goal for the group, basically, for the collective?
I don't know. To fucking make it out. I don't know. To be honest,
the reason I ask is you have a line in one of your songs that says, no point in manifesting if you don't have a plan.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
Oh, so what's the plan? Well, you don't want to give away, you know, your secret sauce. I don't want to give away the recipe, but
good basically.
Shit. Good shit, bro. To be honest with you, I don't even know what track that's from, but thank you. What track is that?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, that's Beautiful Day. That's Beautiful Day.
Damn.
Yo, good looks, bro. I really appreciate that, though. That's huge. That's you know. All right. Okay. But yeah, I'm not giving the plan away. We got plans. I'm not giving the plan away. But
so as a group, do you guys sit down and kind of, because obviously the plans change as things keep going. You know, you have a certain plan and then you kind of life comes and you start realizing, oh, we could do this different to reach the goal.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody has the end goal, but how do you guys maintain that mindset?
Well, you know, first and foremost, we're all really good friends, which makes it really easy. You know, it's just a lot easier to be a part of a group if you really actually connect with the people in the group. So that makes things super easy, and so we just kind of naturally are already together, and we have the same goals, right? To make it as musicians, we all love music for one reason or another, if not the same reasons. And we just, you know, we're continuing to want to share it with as many people as possible, and enjoy it the same way that we always do.
And you know, some people, because you said, oh, we're friends, and that makes it easy, but at times that actually makes it even much harder. You know, there's always times where friends end up not being friends because they end up working together. So how do you guys make sure that, you know, you don't really step on each other's toes, you're all kind of pushing the same way, and don't let ego get in the way? So how do you guys maintain that? And, you know,
I'm looking at Dre like, I don't know. You know, actually, with this group of homies, it's really easy. It's actually, I don't know, you could ask them. It might be a different story. I'm kind of, you know, I could be a lot at times, I think, in a good way, as far as, like, drive goes. But also, I can be a lot. So, you know, I got high energy. But a lot of the Sauce Collective is very balanced individuals, either including or excluding myself. I don't know. But I know that the rest of them are great people. And it's really, it's not that difficult. It's really not, which is something I think is super rare. And who knows, you know, what the future brings. But I see no doubt that we continue to blend well as a group. Yeah.
So with that being said, we're going to take just a quick commercial break. Shout out to our sponsors at SoCo Leather. Check them out. They got shoes. They got wallets. They got anything made out of leather, they can make it. Check them out. Shout out to our boy Christian Sokoli, who we had interviewed before, former first Albanian NFL player. Congrats on the new brand. Check them out. That was SoCo Leather. Don't forget, check them out on Instagram at SoCo Leather. So we just kind of talked about, you know, the Sauce Collective and the group and how everybody's pretty much balanced. And he's laughing because this chair keeps squeaking. he's trying not to move, but every time he moves.
I'm gonna sit up.
So we were just talking about that and how you guys, you know, instead of kind of what I got from it, instead of like kind of being jealous or feeling some type of way for other people's each other's successes, you kind of want to push each other even more forward. So do you at times challenge each other to do even better, Like, you know, you might hear him performing a certain way, and you're like, I think you could do this better, and kind of give you advice. And how do you take that advice when it's coming from someone in your group?
It all depends on who it's coming from and who it's going to, because like 20 minutes ago, I was asking Dre which song I should sing on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I appreciate the opinions. I think we all do, you know, but also we all do different things.
Right.
But I know I rely off that shit at times. It's super helpful to have supportive people there that have your best interests at heart, but also have good opinions and an outside perspective. And, you know, when the instrumentalists are doing it, you know, we see, you know, we all just have great communication, and it's for the greater good, whatever's happening in the moment. It's like anything, you know, you take advice or you don't take advice, and you appreciate the, I don't know, the thought that someone put into it, you know?
And, I feel like when it comes from someone that's close to you and you value their opinion, even if it's a negative one at that moment, you don't take it personal, because if it's coming from a good place, it's coming for your betterment at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think I've ever gotten any form of advice from another member of the Sauce Collective that was like in any way, shape, or form in a negative framework. You know, it's all constructive because we all have the same
not
together.
So much negative, more of like, hey, you know, this could be a lot better. You know, if you try this, it's like you said, in a constructive form.
Yeah.
But you know, depending on where it's coming from, sometimes, or the type of person you are, you could really just
you could
ignore
explode.
Them and be like.
Yeah.
Why you hate?
You know what I mean? Like,
versus like actually looking at it, because that's your boy that's been supporting you for so long, and looking at it like, oh, he's actually wants me to be better. So if he's telling me that, he's not just saying that just to say it. He's saying that because I could actually become better at this. So you look at it in a certain way, and you actually try to improve that way.
Precisely.
So you've been basically performing for, I mean, since a little kid, but you've been doing shows for like about 10 years, I would say. So tell
you
me
hear that
I heard that in another lyric
same song yeah.
Is it the same song?
Yeah.
Oh wow,
that's funny.
So he's laughing. So tell me just about like just the struggles of an artist in general. You know, you have a job, you're trying to, you invest a lot in your career, and like we talked about just a little bit earlier before the show, it's very easy to kind of give up when you don't see that immediate success. You know, everybody kind of wants that immediate success, but you have to work past that to actually start reaching the goals. So tell me about like your personal your personal life and how you experience that.
Man, this shit is stressful. This shit is so stressful. But it's also, you do it because you love it, but you know, I think also for me, like when you circle your entire identity around something, like that's what I've done with music, right? Like even if it's this type of music, if it's doing this form, this something, in some capacity, my identity has always been tied with music. So at times you can let that affect the whole. But I think earlier we were talking about, and this is some shit I had to learn, me and Dre were talking about just zooming out, right? Like being able to focus on the whole. But it's stressful. There's long nights, there's anxious feelings. You know, I think another part of it is when what you're selling is art, that rejection becomes, you know, tenfold, because what you're selling is a reflection of your emotions and who you are. And it's, you know, it's vulnerable. It's really vulnerable. So yeah, man, shit can be rough.
So,
but beautiful.
Do you often second guess yourself before you like put something out?
Hell yeah, I second guess myself. I quadruple guess myself every time after I put something out.
are you like checking back all the time? Like, all right. Double check, refresher. Where's the fucking millions of views? Like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like even myself, I was telling you guys earlier, like a few years ago, I remember putting out an episode and literally like getting like 20, 30 views, and you're like, bro, the amount of fucking research I did, and even just to get this artist here and all that, and I'm getting this 30 views, you know what I mean? And you're like, what the fuck? Like, you literally sit there at one moment, and you're like, what am I really doing this for?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Who am I doing it for?
It's rough.
Yeah. But go ahead.
I think something I learned though is just like there's parts to it. There's levels to it. So it's like just because you made it, right? And this is something that I've really, really had to think about, you know, especially like in the last year or so. And this is more in terms of what I make, right? Like just because you made it doesn't mean someone's gonna like it.
Right.
Right. But just because someone doesn't see it doesn't mean they don't like it, right? Like sometimes the visibility just isn't there, right? And that's where the long hours come in, right? Like I'm gonna just keep dropping shit until something fucking works, you know? But yeah, man, there's like, you know, it's a little chain of events always.
And sometimes it's like, for example, for us, we had interviewed T-Mek. He's number one artist in Poland. When we first launched that episode, it didn't get as many clicks as you would expect for, you know, number one artist in Poland. He was actually top five in streaming numbers behind like Drake and Kanye, like, you know what I mean, like in Europe at the time. And you know, you expect like interviewing someone like that, you're gonna get millions and millions of hits.
Yeah.
So initially, it did okay, but it definitely didn't hit millions. Now, a couple years later, basically maybe like 6-7 months ago, I noticed that episode was just picking up thousands of views coming in on it. And I'm like, oh shit, because it's still out there and people are just catching on now. Turns out he doesn't do any interviews in Poland. That's one of the only interviews that he's done the last few years. So it's like, it started picking up now. So, you know, it's kind of like, all right, you know, it's timeless at the end of the day.
Yeah, it
you
is timeless. Right?
It's timeless at the end of the day. You put your art out and you never know. And like you said, people might not love it. You might love it, but it's not really up to you to love. It's up to the consumer.
At the end of the day, yeah.
They might not love it now, but they'll love it later. Or
precisely.
Not at all. And that might be your favorite song that you ever made. But then at the end of the day, it's not the consumer.
It's not selling. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's a waste, but it's just not. It's not what's going to make you the money for the art for right. the month.
And then at the same time, it's like, you know, going there and doing an episode and getting 20, 30 views, that's when I came to the realization that, like, I'm not doing this for the views. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this because this is what I like to do.
Exactly.
I love it, and I'm going to just keep doing it, and eventually,
you know, exactly.
Eventually it came, and it's coming, and it's going to be better. It's going to be bigger because
I think once you realize why you're making whatever it is you're making, if you're creating something and you're doing it, you start doing it for yourself, like, there's a reason you're doing it, right? Like, that if it resonates with you that hard, like, you're still an individual, it's going to resonate with another individual that right. hard, you know, like, and eventually, like you said, with time, it just picks up.
And the other thing is, like, especially when I first started out, you know, I have a ton of friends, so you expect they're all going to listen. At the very least, each friend is going to listen to it one time, and that's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Nobody listens. Nobody listens to shit, bro. No. Now fucking, we've been at it for 4 years. Yeah. I have friends that very close to me just listened to the first episode like a month ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't owe me shit. You know what I mean? They don't really. There's so many podcasts out there that they could listen to. So they don't really owe me shit to listen to it.
Precisely.
But absolutely. The fact that like years later they come around, they're like, oh, I gotta listen to the show, and they finally listen, it just kind of shows recognition that it keeps coming in their face, so they realize that it's something that they should have paid attention to, and they're coming around to pay attention to. And I don't hate them for not listening to it in the beginning at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they finally are, you know what I mean? Like that's
shout
more of like
his
a,
friends.
Shout out my friends for years sitting in the cars next to me.
Yo, but I think that's just a reflection of everyone else too, right? Like the people you know, just like we are individuals, right?
Right.
So that's just, it speaks to the psychology of everything. Like you keep doing it, people keep seeing it, and then
yeah, and I guess they also started like realizing the passion behind it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because like even you as an artist, it's like a friend close to you, it's like they could just listen to Drake like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like they don't really owe you to listen to Jack, but then when they do come around and finally listen, they're like, oh shit, bro, you're that good. You're like,
yeah,
you know, I'm okay, you know, I've been doing it, but
depends on the day they ask.
That's it. It's always just thank you for listening. You know what I mean? It's not, there's no hate, nobody owes me shit.
Nah.
But at the end of the day, when they do come around, when people do come around, when people do listen, I'm extremely grateful, because without people listening, you know, we can't achieve any goal that we've set. What's up, everybody? This is your host, Edison. Thanks for tuning in to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to leave a like, subscribe to our channel, and also hit that bell on your way out so that you get notified for every new episode. Thanks again for tuning in. We couldn't do any of this without your help and support.
There's no food on the table.
Next thing up. So we talked about the struggles of an artist and also like how you have to be your own number one fan. You know what I mean? Because nobody's really giving you those positive words that you're always waiting for and whatever. And, you know, so at times you kind of have to sit there and push yourself like and tell yourself you're doing great and kind of move yourself out of that slump that, you know, especially during Corona, I know a lot of people were like kind of just stuck there like, what should I do and not doing shit and letting shit kind of ride out and letting time pass and then realizing, fuck, I could have been doing all this during this time. But at the end of the day, today is today and you move from here forward. You don't think about what the fuck is behind us. You just move from here forward.
Yeah, man.
So tell me about your struggles through quarantine because you said you slowed down a little bit. You had a little bit of a struggle with releasing content during that time.
Yeah, so. I think I just slowed down. Everything came to a slowdown and not to say I don't think I made any progress, you know. I think there's growth in everything, and I did a lot more, you know, like trying to do producing work and things, you know, that were more behind the scenes. But I think as far as my own brand as an artist, things, you know, I fell back somewhat. Mind you, I mean, like I made Beautiful Day, like I made that whole project throughout quarantine more or less. So it's not like, you know, we were completely stagnant, but there's a lot of time on our hands, you know, and actually we were talking about this earlier, just how it was a good time for self-reflection and a good opportunity. I mean, of course, it's not a good thing, right? You don't want people dying and getting sick, but you know, the effect of it and being in quarantine was a great opportunity to kind of just reflect or build. And I think everyone kind of had their own way of going about it. You know, some people just going, building. Some people were not doing that as much. I think, you know, that speaks to something else they were doing. You know, mentally, it's not like we're never, I mean, mentally, we're, oh, how am I supposed to say this? Uh-oh, grammar. Mentally, we're never stagnant, truly. Mm-hmm. You know? There's there's always something going on, even if you can't put a note on what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, quarantine was all right. I don't mean to say it was fully stagnant by any means. You know, I was producing, because at the end of the day, that shit keeps me going. Like, I just love sound and making sounds and pretty melodies and shit. So, you know, more of a natural progression rather than a driven progression.
Yeah. I mean, same here, even for me. I didn't personally do too many interviews during quarantine, which was probably a great time to do them because everybody was fucking home. But, you know, I was going through
Zoom,
it.
Though.
Yeah, I was going through it as all. But the self-reflection definitely had phases of that I think after it's all said and done, came out a better person from
exactly.
All that, you know. But before we close out the show, tell me how you linked up with Steely and how you guys got that song together.
Steely is my boy. I love Steely. Love you, Steely. No, that's my dog. He's a great guy. Really, I think what had initially happened is he had played a show at Manhattanville. I didn't meet him then. But Gianni, my boy Gianni, you know, Gianni.
Yeah. Gianni did a lot of videos for us before. Yeah.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great guy. Him and my boy Matt and even Dre all knew Steely. And then I think one day I was on live just listening to people's music during quarantine. This is when like the Instagram live shit was going on and I had started with that. And then I was like, this is too much camera. The camera right there. But at the time I was just listening to people's music on there and just, you know, reviewing or whatever, and Steely popped up, and then I had heard of him for a minute. I've been meaning to link up with him, and then we linked up and he sent me that track. I sang on it, and then we've been working on stuff ever since. We've been working on, you know, in a while. Probably won't drop anytime soon, but we might be working on a project together. But we've been working on a lot of music together. And yeah, he's a great dude.
And you guys well, I saw on Instagram you guys were doing a rehearsal for some type of performance. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Staley's performing and I want to say September or October for Foresight's been putting on shows, Foresight's Presents. So we're going to be there then, but we filmed it. It was a great time. Had Brandon, another member of the Sauce Collective there, Buzz, who works with us a lot, who's a drummer. And it was just fun, man. Like, he's got a great energy, and it was really cool to be able to play his shit on keys and just, you know, be a part of that energy from kind of a backdrop.
And he's
you know?
A super energetic performer in general.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? So he jumps around all over. One of the few big guys I've seen jump off stage, you know what I mean? Not crowd surfing.
I was going to say, I ain't seen that.
But just kind of like he jumps off stage.
Crazy.
So, yeah. So, anyway, shout out Steely. Shout out to Jack. Thank you for coming. That was a wonderful performance. Give your last minute shout outs. Tell everybody where to check you out. You know, whoever you want to say hello to at home.
All right. Hi, Mom. First and foremost, always, hi, Mom. All right, well, first I'm gonna shout out the Sauce Collective or the main four members. So, shouts out my boy Dre Got the Blues. Please go check him out. He's got great music. It's a phenomenal pen game. Ava Francis, a phenomenal guitarist, and she plays a lot of other instruments really well. Brandon Florek, mainly a bassist but a great instrumentalist. And then I am Jack .jxck. Don't forget the dot. There's other JXCKs out there trying to, you feel me, get my name. It's .jxck on all streaming services. You can find me on all social platforms other than MySpace or AIM. Those are done for.
Okay, and check out my away message on AIM.
So, you know, all that, jxckmusic.com, that's my website. But yeah, that's about it. I appreciate you for having me, bro, for real.
Definitely. And everybody, don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a performance by Dre Got the Blues with Jack on keys right after this. Oh, Google us.
Check out my Google knowledge panel.
It's on video.
Yeah. 'Cause I'll be riding, cruising. I'll be in the field with my brothers acting foolish. Don't start none, won't be none. I thought you knew this. Boy, you in my way, I suggest you get to moving. Tell me who you was before the world told you who you should be. 'Cause I promise it ain't nothing like me. When you chosen all the things you want aligned with your needs, you find the time for your dreams. I felt pain and I felt numb and neither made me complete. I be sipping, I be smoking, but them problems don't leave. Demons disguised in Dior, all my well wishes wrapped in C4. Niggas move walkie once that pain presents a detour. Adversity is a state of mind. It's a years of depression to write your favorite lines. It's a years of neglect to see I'm the chosen one. Children dying, but you telling me to take my time. Signed, sealed, delivered by someone you said I'd never become. I ain't made it, but I feel like the one. I ain't famous, but it's more about funds and making sure them haters playing to the beat of your drum. 'Cause I be riding, cruising. I be in the field with my brothers acting foolish. Don't start none, won't be none. I thought you knew this. Boy, you in my way, I suggest you get to moving. 'Cause I be riding, cruising. I be in the field with my brothers acting foolish. Don't start none, won't be none. I thought you knew this. I see you been plotting. Is that the fate you choosing? I hope they count me out again so I could double down on greatness. I'm ballin' like Jermaine, this masterclass on preparation. I'm looking to the greats and they been looking like they ain't shit. Oh shit, niggas stepping to me over patience. Like really nigga, patience, not passion but patience. I put my all in this, I'm tired of waiting. Next time you step to me, make sure it makes sense. Been handling my business, now the payment has been late since. And I ain't striking out with loaded bases. I do this for my mother and my brother and my sister and my niggas and my father and my partners and anybody adjacent. I drew up the plan and I could tell you who been tracing. Your swagger is reeking of admiration. Never peeped the requisites, for real has started changing. Yeah, here I am, sticking to the basics. I didn't skip a beat or pivot feet, I'm still me and it feels amazing. And still I've yet to feel intimidation. Cause nigga, I be riding, cruising. I be in the field with my brothers acting foolish. Don't start none, won't be none, I thought you knew this. Boy, you in my way, I suggest you get to moving. Cause I be riding, cruising. I be in the field with my brothers acting foolish. Don't start none, won't be none, I thought you knew this. I see you been plotting, instead the fate you choosing.